thank you all very much for coming. I'm very happy that Larry arranged this wonderful luncheon. And listen, it will be indeed a study session. I just want to point out that there's one error on this study sheet. I had entitled this year A Tale of Two Cities. However, I'm going to have to correct that for this gathering because this is going to be A Tale of Three Cities. The two cities that the shir is about, you'll find out during the shir. But I have my son here at Menachem, who is from Afula. That's the third city. And I want to take a moment to tell you that 11 years ago, my son Menachem, all on his own, went with his family and four little children at the time to a city called Afula. Afula at the time didn't know that his arrival was the best thing that had happened to Afula since it came into being. In the last 11 years, after knocking on doors and being the kind of people through all sorts of ways, he now has 200 students in a day school, 7 Gane Yeladim, a Yeshiva Gedola, a Medrashah for girls, a Kolel that works in the community. I can keep going on and on and on. And he has been carrying the responsibility of this awesome undertaking, which is, there's a budget of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that he has to raise. I don't know how he does it. I'm not even sure yet if he does it. But then again, it's there and it's growing. It's becoming, Afula has become more well known since he arrived there than in all of its history. Afula was always known in Eretz Yisrael for peanuts, garinim. Now, Afula is known as a growing city of Torah that is having a tremendous amount of influence on the entire area. So, I don't have to spell anything out for you people. I don't have to spell anything out. If you have friends and others, if you can in any way help and assist, this is a tremendous undertaking. And remember, make no mistake, this is a Toronto-born boy who made good. Understand? He went there, spoiled, but it's tremendous.
I was at the bris.
Right?
I was at his bris.
And a lot of you played with him when he was a little boy. You came to the house, you played with him. The Novominsky Rebbe told me a few years ago after he had visited Afula, he went to visit the day school. He was staying in Hanover. He came to me to tell me that the only one in all of Eretz Yisrael that's doing the job that has to be done is Rebbe Nachum Gold. Mamish, all of these children are from totally irreligious homes. There's nobody that would have done anything, but you have to see them now. I had the great schus. My dear brother-in-law, whom I can't leave unmentioned, of course. I stay at his house. His basement is our palace here in. It's a wonderful, wonderful hachnasas arkum. He's been tolerating me for 26 years.
So he, on either side,
he came. With Judy a few weeks ago. How long was it? 6 weeks ago? 7 weeks ago? I don't want to go into the fact that my wife and I had been in a car accident on November 8th. We were supposed to come then with Menachem in order to help him raise funds for Afula. We were in a car accident. We were laid up for about two months. When Mendel came, I rented a car because my car was totaled. Don't worry about me. I got a new one already. It was fine.
Okay.
And she had worst. She was operated on immediately after the accident. But she's walking. She's walking. Hodol Hashem, Ki Tov, Ki Li'olam. She went through a difficult time. Me, don't worry about my whiplash. Don't be concerned that I can't move my neck and my arm is bothering me and my back is draped. So we were supposed to come with him, and finally Mendel and Judy come up, so I decided I'm going to rent a car, and I'm taking Mendel and Judy to Afula. We had an unbelievable ruchniyistic experience. Come into a gun, and an entire gun, 30, 35 gorgeous little kids, all colors, all the same size, but all colors. And they recited the entire first chapter of Pirkei Avos Baal Peh. We just stood there, me with my mouth open. That's not a chiddush. It's always open. But, huh? Five girls?
Five year olds.
It was unbelievable. And then in addition to that, by the way, he has also a for the children of the Rabbeim, there's another day school, Freidnish, and another guy. It's unbelievable. He needs a lot of help. So that's, we took care of one city. Now we're talking about the other two cities. And follow me. There are going to be some fascinating chedushim that all the years that I've been learning Megillas Esther never came across. Let's go. The Gemara on Megillah, everybody knows the Megillah. Gemara wants to tell us what was the meaning of the name Achashverosh. Amar Rav says, Achashverosh, Ochiv Shel Rosh, brother of the head, Uben Gilo Shel Rosh, and the same character as the head. Who is the head? Ochiv Shel Rosh, the Gemara goes on to say, he's called brother of the head, Achav Shel Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha, Shenikra Rosh, he was a brother to a Nebuchadnezzar HaRosha, was called a Rosh. You see, the first thing you wanted to spell over here, we have the impression that Achashverosh was really a kindly sort. He may have been, very easily influenced. We imagine Achashverosh as a fellow, a little tipsy, his crown is on his head askew, sort of, looking more like a dunce cap, but he's the one who's harmless, except the fact that he has power and you can easily influence him, which he was done by Haman. So I want you to make no mistake, he was a terrible Rosh, and we have to understand that the extent of his rishus, which brings me back, I have to tell you, the greatest word that I said Sunday, of the many, the greatest was, there can be no Purim without a Parshas Zohar that precedes it. Parshas Zohar means you have to be able to identify the enemy. You have to be able to clearly know who is Amalek. And I quoted the Rav of Soloveitchik, who said that there were four things that Jews discovered in Shushan. They discovered that man can turn into Satan. Man can become a demon. Man can become a cruel killer. The second thing that they learned is that the cruel killers target the Jews. They're the ones that they'll go after. And the whole world, the ones who are targeted are the Jews. The third discovery that Jews made in Shushan was that this Satan demon, who is cruel, can devise the most frightening ways of killing and will attempt to kill all Jews. And the fourth thing that they learned is Satan, demon, killer, does not differentiate between one Jew and the other. Orthodox, conservative, reform, settler, or somebody who lives in Tel Aviv. No difference. Parashat Zohar is identifying the enemy. Make no mistakes. Don't think that the enemy is a partner. He's not a partner for peace. He's not a partner for anything except to allow you to give him the opportunity, Chas V'Shalom, to destroy you. You have to be able to identify him. So I say we're beginning by identifying. The Gemara says he was Achiv Shel Rosh. Achashverosh was the brother of Nebuchadnezzar, who was called Rosha Shenema. Daniel says, when he interprets the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he says, Antu Reisho de Dahava, you are the head of gold. He had in his dream, Achashverosh had seen some awesome kind of apparition, and the head was gold, and that was Nebuchadnezzar. And Ben Gilo Shorosh, he was the same character as Achashverosh. Who harag? Who bikesh larog? Achashverosh killed, he wanted to kill. Nebuchadnezzar killed, and Achashverosh wanted to kill. Who hechariv? Who bikesh lachariv? Achashverosh, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted to destroy. And we're going to see what that means. Shenema. Ubemalchus Achashverosh betchilos malchuso kosu sitna yosha Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. During the reign of Achashverosh, at the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. I would say a little bit more than an accusation. Sitna, a letter of absolute hatred against the Jews of Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. And that's going to be the focus of this year. Who wrote the letter? Who delivered the letter? What was the essential nature of that letter? What was Achashverosh's response to the letter? In a moment. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Achashverosh was called such a Hushchalu Peneim Shel Yisrael B'yomav Kishulei Kedera. He was called Achashverosh because in his time the faces of Jews became dark, shachor, as the bottom of a pot. Gershon says, Kol Shezochro Omar Och L'Rosha, anybody who remembers Achashverosh says, they to his head. We're not talking about tipsy, little drunk fellow. We're talking about a man who has awesome power and inspires fear and trembling. By the way, a commoner does not come to power over 127 states by being a nice guy, a good guy. You step over hundreds of thousands of bodies in order to claw your way to the very top. Rav Chanina says, Shakol Nasu Roshim Beyom, everybody became poor in his days because by Yosef Amar HaKashverish, he taxed people so terribly that they became poor. Gemara goes on to say, Hu HaKashverish, Hu Bidisho Mitchilos Rat Zeyfei. He was a Roshim from beginning to end. I think it's very interesting. I like that. Something is coming. I think they're saying that even at the end of the Megillah, when he's already given permission that they should fight, and he gives them permission for a second day. Mainly, don't make the mistake of thinking that he has softened. He's a Rosha from beginning to end. Just as Esav is Rishon Mitchilos V'Atzofo, just as Dosan V'Aviram Arishoy Mitchilos V'Atzofo, and don't get me to talk about Dosan V'Aviram, because that's another shir. Next time I'm here, you can invite me to give the shir on Dosan V'Aviram, which is one of the extremely important contemporary shirim, but that's not for now. Okay. What was the letter all about? We're on the way to understanding what the letter was. But here, number two, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. And this is one of my big chidushim of this time around. I think the last time I said this year was more than 10 years ago. Mordechai comes to Esther and he tells Esther, we are slated to be destroyed. Run to the king, speak to him, tell him he has to do something. Esther sends a message back and saying, no, we can't. Anybody who goes to the king who has not been invited, Achaz Dosel Hamas, will be put to death, except for the one to whom the king is going to extend the golden scepter. And I have not been called to the king now for 30 days. Oh, so Mordechai sends back a response to Esther, and he tells her, listen, Esther, you know, Im HaCharesh Tacharishi, if you're going to remain silent now, This is the time that you have to speak out if you're going to remain silent. Who knows if you will be queen next year. Maybe this is the only reason why you are. Anyway, so she, from that moment on and further, and this also the Rav once pointed out, that from that moment on, the response, Esther's response to Mordechai, is the moment at which a dramatic change takes place in the Megillah. Up until that point, Mordechai is the one who's giving the instructions. He's running everything. And from this moment on and further, it's now Esther who takes over. And she's the one who's going to give the instructions. And she says to him, listen, Lech Knosis, Kol HaYehudim, gather all of the Jews together, and Tzumu Alai, and fast for me, V'gamani V'nar Osai Otzum Ken, we will also fast, and so I will come to the king. By the way, somebody mentioned, oh, you mentioned it before, HaDavid. One of the things that I said at the end of the, at the end of my remarks on Sunday, was that tefillah helps only when accompanied by action. And I quoted a Mabit in the Sefer Beit Elokim. He was from the community of Tzfat in the days of Yosef Karo. In the beginning of his Sefer, he says, what is tefillah? Bakoshas ha'odam yakel, a request that man makes of God. Dovar ha'nitzrach, something that you need. She'enu b'shuso, that man doesn't have the means to do it, acquired. If the, you want money, you need parnasa, but you're not working, don't bother praying. Because the Rebbe Hashem is going to say, can't be to go look for a job. You have to do whatever you can. It has to be ain't nobody should say, or if I've done whatever I can, from that moment on and further, Rebbe Hashem, I did my share. Now it's up to you. That's his definition of tefillah. It's the Rishon. This is not no. This is not some contemporary. This is a Rishon. And one of the proofs that I wanted to give, but of course I wasn't going to say that on Sunday. One of the proofs is the following. She says, Esther says, Lech Knosis Kali, you didn't gather them all together. V'tzumu Olai. Fast for me. Gamani v'nadotai, I and my girls, Otsum Cain, we will also pray for that. Do you know what she's saying? Are they praying to be mevatel the gzeira of Haman? Lahashbid l'harag l'abed? No. You know what they're praying for? They're just praying for Esther's life, that Esther should be able to go into the king and speak on the behalf. Why aren't they praying simply, give a clap of vintage, Klai Yisrael, pay Gimel, we're going to say, and pray to be Mevatel Xavier? You know why? The Mabit. Because they haven't yet done a thing to be Mevatel Xavier. The only thing that they can pray for now, and she says it clearly, v'tzumu olai. You're not praying to be mevatel the gzeir of Haman, you're praying for me. I'm the one that's putting my life on the line now. I have nothing else that I can do. The only other thing, of course, that she can do is, v'atil bash Esther malchus. And you know what she can do? She can make herself as beautiful as possible as she comes to Achaz. That's all she can do. And the rest, her life, Sumo Alai. Gamani v'nar Osai, I and my girls are also going to pray for that. We're not praying yet for the Bitul HaGezeich of Lahashmid L'Haragalavid. That's only going to come after we've gone in there and given it whatever we can. Alright, anyway, she comes in. She comes in. You gotta hear it. She's standing there at the opening to the throne room. Vayihi Kirot HaMelech Et Esther Amaka Bagavai. I want to thank Zeifman's. I came without a Megillah Esther, and here's there's good news and there's bad news. We couldn't find a Tanakh in the whole building.
That's good news and bad
news. You can get them online.
So Gary, so Agid Hatach Gitzach Haneitzah. So he printed out one on the computer for me. I now have a Zeifman's Megillah Esther. I think I'll hold that together with my Megillah in Yerushalayim.
That's why we don't need to say.
That's right. Okay. So it says she comes in by Yehinkiros Hamelech as Esther Amalkas, as the king saw Esther Amalka Omedes Bochatzer Nosachein Beinov, and he extended the golden scepter. Vayomalo Hamelech. Now listen, you have to listen very carefully to the words. Vayomalo Hamelech. The king said to her, Malach Esther Amalka, what's wrong? What's wrong, Esther Amalka? Ma sheilateich u ma bakashateich at chatsi hamalchut v'yinatayn lach. Up until half the kingdom you can have. So she tells him, I'd like you and Haman to come to a party today. They come to the party. By the way, what did I want to point out over here? You haven't seen the queen for 30 days. Esther, how are you? How's everything? You look so radiant, Esther. Achashverosh knows that this woman, just a second before, has put her life on the line. She could have been lying there dead. And he knows that if she's done that, she's not coming for a simple visit. This is something of extreme importance. So therefore he Malach, what's wrong? That's how he's saying it. What's wrong, Esther? What do you want? Achatzi amalchus v'teos. And then, Esther, watch her. She's unbelievable. Vatomid Esther said, Imal HaMelech Tov, if it's good for the king, Yobo HaMelech V'homan HaYom Al HaMishta Asher HaSisila. You know what she's starting to do? This is operation. Eat the man's kishkes out. This is an operation of getting him to be in a greater state of consternation. He's hoping when he asks her, what do you want? She'll say, I'd like such and such. No, no, there's a delay. Wait, you want to know what I want? Wait, come to the party. Okay, they come to the... Vayomer HaMelech v'Haman el HaMishta Asherosa Esther. Vayomer HaMelech l'Esther v'Mishta HaYayin. This is it. He's expecting right now he's going to find it. Ma she'lateich v'yinatein lach. What is it that you ask him? Shall he give it to you? U'mavak ha'shateich at chatzi ha'malchus v'teos. And now... Maybe now he will reveal to her what is it that's troubling her. Now, just listen. It's unbelievable. Vatan Esther Vatomer. Esther answered and said, She'elati u'bakashati. Im motzasi chein ve'enei ha'melech. And he must be there. Come on. Zugshein, what's it about? Im motzasi chein ve'in ha'melech. V'im ala ha'melech tov. Lateit et she'lati. V'lasot et bakashati. Yavo ha'melech v'homan el ha'mishte asher eser lehem u'mochor eser k'dvar ha'melech. You can't take the neshama out of a human being. If I have found favor in your eyes, and if I am good, and if you want to give me my request, and you want to fulfill that which I've asked for, he has to wait another day. And not only has to wait another day, this is the second time around that she's inviting the same guy, the same Haman. This is enough to drive a sane man. We are talking now about a man who is paranoid, but he has reason to be paranoid. There has already been a plot against his life. He comes to the party the next day. And we know a great deal has happened. That night he can't sleep. Why do you think he can't sleep? He wants to know the answer to the question, why did she risk her life? And he doesn't sleep all night. Then in guy come this guy, Homer boy, if there was ever a bad time for somebody to walk in, that was it. Then he's gone through the streets and he's taken Amelech Hofetz Bikaro, etc., etc., etc. They come to the party. Vayomer Amelech Lester, Gam Vayom Hasheni, B'mishtei Hayayin, Gam Vayom Hasheni, Ma she'lateich Esther Amalka v'tinoslach, u'ma bakashateich ad chatzi amalkus v'teos. And then everything finally reaches ahead. What does ad chatzi amalkus v'teos mean? Rashi says, take a look at the sheets. Rashi says, ad chatzi amalkus v'teos, dovashu be'emtza b'chatzi amalkus. You can ask for everything except something that's in the middle of my kingdom, and that's Bet HaMikdash. They began to build it in the days of Koresh. Koresh was the one who brought down the Babylonian Empire, the Chazarbo, and he changed his mind, the Tzivol of Atel HaMalacha, and he committed that they should stop work, the Achashverosh, Shonat Achrof, Achashverosh, who ruled after him, Kamhu Bitel HaMalacha, he also stopped work on the Beit HaMikdash. He doesn't even know that she's Jewish. Why should he tell her, listen, Esther, if you want me to rescind the prohibition on building in Yerushalayim, no siree. And not only Beis HaMikdash, Har Choma, Pisgat Zeh, there will be no construction in Yerushalayim. Do you understand? Koresh said that, and I'm saying that. Why should he even say that to her? He doesn't know she's Jewish, that she can't, but what's it all about? What's this Atchatziah Malchus V'teos? It's unbelievable. You never thought about it, right? Neither did I. Do you know what the big Chiddush is? The awesome Chiddush. And if you take it, and not until you get it, until I get it out, you know, I'm going to take you in the Shema out, just like yesterday. Took you in the Shema. The battle has begun. They've waged war on the 13th. It's now the 14th. Vayomer HaMelech le'Esther HaMalka. This is in chapter 9. The king says to Esther HaMalka in Shushan HaBira, Jews killed 500 people and the 10 sons of Haman. Sharmi Dinot HaMelech Me'osu. Find out what they did in all the other realm. Umashe Eilateich V'yinatein Lach. What is it that you ask and it will be given to you? Umar Bakashateich Od. What else do you want? V'te'os. Three times the man says at Chatzi HaMalchus. The fourth he doesn't. What happened? Sakut Kasha? I never saw anybody who asked the kasha. And I'm not interested in looking either. Because I think I know the answer. Why? Why the change? I never noticed. You know, it hurt me. I've gone through the Megillah so many times. So on the one hand, I should be happy. All of a sudden I found a chiddush. But how come I didn't notice it before? The answer is, there is one figure never mentioned, except maybe in an indirect way, in the Megillah, but his name is never mentioned, and his spirit hovers and lies heavily over the entire Megillah. You know who that figure is? Yirmiyahu. Everybody's concerned about Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu had prophesied 70 years earlier the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the raising Yerushalayim to the ground and Jews being exiled. He said it all. He said it all. And he said it was going to be done by Babel. But he also said that at the end of 70 years, Jews are coming back. Coming back. You know what else he said? Oh, you got to read the description, chapters 50, 51 in Yirmiyahu. He prophesied the destruction of Babel at Hayasod. Oru, oru, mamish, at Hayasod. And who are the ones that knew better than anybody else the utter destruction of Babel? The kings of Parasuwadai. They brought him down. What happened that last night of Belshazzar's life, when he took out the clay base HaMikdash, so there's a whole Amid Gemara in Megillah where the Gemara says that everybody was concerned, when do the 70 years end? Because at the end of the 70 years, Jews are going to return and they're going to begin to rebuild Yerushalayim and the base HaMikdash. Belshazzar was concerned about that. Why were they concerned? Because Yirmiyahu had been on the mark with absolute precision. Everything he said had come. The world was frightened. They didn't want the Jews to return. They didn't want Geulas Yisrael. They didn't want that. And they think that they're going to hold Jews down. So therefore the Gemara says that Belshazzar made a calculation of when the 70 years began and when the 70 years ended. And when, according to his calculation, the 70 years were over, he took out the clay base Hamidash. And then that's the night on which they see the handwriting on the wall. And the Beidaleya that night, the forces of Persia regrouped. They came into the city of Babel, they crushed the city, they killed Belshazzar. And Achashverosh, the Gemara says, Bishnas Sholosh L'malcho, Kesheves HaMelech HaChasher, Kishenit Yashva Dato, he made the calculation too. When did the 70 years begin and when did they end? And when they ended according to his calculation, you know what he did? He took out the clay Beit HaMikdash and he did more than that. He came dressed in the big day Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says. Because he assumes that's it. It's all over. Jews are not going to be redeemed. They're not going to be redeemed. Nothing. You know what? It's okay. If Yirmiyahu was right about it, 90%, that's okay. But there's nothing that's going to come now in the center of my kingdom. He's got Yerushalayim on the brain. Whatever happens in Yerushalayim is a signal to the rest of the world. If Yerushalayim is growing and it's being built, that means there's a new power that is rising in the region. If you really want to understand it, I'm fond of quoting Cicero, the great historian of the Roman Empire. He said, when Judea rebels, the entire Roman Empire quakes. Judea was the smallest province of the Roman Empire. But when those Jews started rebelling, it was unbelievable. The Roman Empire had to send legions after legions against those Yidalech over there in Eretz Israel. What was the letter of hatred that was sent? The letter that was sent first to Koresh. That letter that said that this is a rebellious city, you can't permit any construction over here, because when they grow strong, they will tear your kingdom apart. It's all there. The letter is right there. Perek Daled in Ezra. It's all there. All there. Letters of hatred. Don't build in Yerushalayim. You can't. That is such a contemporary ring to what's going on over here. So when she comes in, he's not aware of the fact. He doesn't know that she's Jewish. But he's aware of one thing. I mean, you know, it could be some Jews got in touch with her. They sent us a Meshilach over there who came in to Esther. You know, listen, we have a yeshiva in Yerushalayim and we need help, we need to build. One thing will not be. There will not be construction in Yerushalayim. Construction in Yerushalayim means that Yirmiyahu is absolutely right. And if Yirmiyahu is absolutely right, there is something that's going to bring down his kingdom as well. Who wrote the letters? Rashi. Aseres b'nei Haman. Ra'isi b'seder olam. Rashi says, I saw b'seder olam. Elu asora shekosu sitna Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. The 10 people who wrote the letters of hatred against Yerushalayim were the sons of Haman. In other words, don't think that the sons of Haman were killed because they're the sons of Haman. The sons of Haman were killed in their own right. They earned it. They're the ones who called for no construction in Yerushalayim to Moshe Kosu to save it Ezra, it says in Ezra. Uvavachus HaChashverosh, Betchilas Malchuso, Kosu Sidnai, Yoshe Yehuda Yerushalayim, and in the kingdom of Achashverosh, in the beginning of his kingdom, they sent a letter of hatred against the inhabitants of Yehuda Yerushalayim. Mahi HaSidna? What was this hatred? Levatel Ha'olim and Agolabi Mei Koresh, Sheetchilu Livnot Et Habayit, to stop those who came up from the Gola on the days of Koresh, and began to build the Beit HaMikdash. V'hilshinu aleim hakusim v'hechadilim. The Samaritans are the ones who said Lashon Hara about them and they stopped it. U'kishimes Koresh, u'malach HaKashirish, when Koresh died and HaKashirish became king, v'hitnasei Haman, and Haman rose to power, do'ag shalo yasku otam shebi Yerushalayim v'binyan. Haman made sure no construction in Yerushalayim. He was worried about that. That was on his agenda.
Shalchu b'shem Achashverosh l'sorei Eivor Anol l'Vatlan, and he made sure that letters were sent out. Letters were sent out from the from Haman, from Achashverosh, to those who live in Yehudah v'Yerushalayim, that no construction. All right.
So peace now to the Samaritans.
You're getting me on to Dosan Vaviron. I'm not going that direction. Now, do you understand? You want to know what I understand now? The fourth time he says to Esther, Ma she'elateich, u'ma bakashateich, he can't say out of his mouth, Ad chatzi ha'malchus. Jews throughout the realm have risen in self-defense. 75,000 have been killed. He knows that Esther is Jewish. Who is the one who rules second to him? Mordechai Yehudi. He sees that things are changing. What he thought up until now, that you can keep those Jews down, everything is blowing up in his face. He can no longer get those words out of his mouth. Do you know what Achashverosh would say at that point in the Megillah? Yirmiyahu was right. Every last thing that Yirmiyahu said, and I feel bad for Yirmiyahu. In his lifetime, he was a failure. A blessed failure. A holy failure. But from the moment that he died, oh, God, did a world see step by step that Yirmiyahu was right. Can't say anymore, Ad chatzi ha'malchus v'teyas. It's all changing. It's all changing. Do you know what the Rebbeinu Shlomo's sense of humor is? He's awesome. His sense of humor just staggers the imagination. Take a look at number 6. We can skip 5. This is from the beginning of Nehemiah. It says in there first that Nehemiah looked unhappy, and the king asked him, "Madu apanecha rom? What's wrong? You're not sick. Is something wrong? Your heart? Vo'idahar? I was very frightened." And I said to the king, Hamelech lo lanich, long to the king, Madua lo yedo fanai, why shouldn't I feel bad? Asher ho'ir beis kivrot avotai, the city where my fathers are buried, chareva, ushoreo, uchlu b'eish, and the gates have been consumed with fire, vayomali Hamelech, al mazeh atam evakesh, what do you want, Nehemiah? V'et palil elokei ha'shamayim. And I prayed to God. By the way, there's nothing more that he can do at this point. He can only pray. And I said to the king, Tov, if it's good for the king, if I'm good in his eyes, I said to Shlacheni, send me to Yehuda el Ir Kivot Avotai Ve'evneno. Send me to the city of the burial place of my fathers. I'm going to build that city. The king said to me, and the shekel was sitting next to him, how long are you going to go? When are you going to come back? And he sent me, and I went. Who's the Shekel? There are a lot of Pshatim. The Malban says, the king was Daryavesh. This king was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. And the Shekel is the queen mother who's sitting next to him.
What is Shekel?
Can you?
What does the word mean, Shekel?
Well, it has the, it denotes, of course, sexual relations. Wherever it says, there are a number of places in Torah where we don't read it. Yishkaleno, Yishkaveno. This is the queen mother. Can you imagine? Esther is sitting there, and her son is giving permission for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. And she's thinking about, Achashverosh is already long dead up in Olam HaSheker. And everything that he wanted to stop. How many times did he tell me, Ad chatzi ha'malchus v'teyas? Achashverosh? No. Yirmiyahu was right. And you know, we're giving the instructions that Yerushalayim should be built. What of the nahafachu? How everything becomes tied together. Just a few more comments, and those comments are related to the fact that this year in Yerushalayim we're going to have what's called the Purim Shulash, the 3-day Purim. When Purim, the 15th, comes on Shabbos, which it is so this year, you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, Gzeira, lest you take it, carry it in the street. So, it's so fascinating, all the shitas about what you're supposed to do in Yerushalayim. You name the shita, there's somebody who says it, whatever it is. And they have all the Torah, and I've been through so much on it, the Shulchan Aruch sums it up in one sentence, takes all the machlokes, it spreads out over 3 days. It really emerges that we do 2 mitzvahs a day. On Friday, in Yerushalayim, we will read the Megillah with the rest of the world, and we will give Matanis Levyonim. Matanis Levyonim is linked to Kriyas HaMegillah. Mm-hmm. The only problem with it all is, for years, I'm always thrilled. Tainus Esther is over. Mm-hmm. And all those schnooks in the whole world, they're hungry, they haven't eaten. They're running to the Megillah. They're going to want to kill the kids who are banging for Haman while they're hungry. And in Yerushalayim, you go home, you have a meal. It's the most fascinating day of all. It's a do-nothing day between the 14th is just, kids are running through the streets all dressed up. It's what a good. And then, you come to the Megillah the night of the 15th. Not that, but we're going to suffer with you this year. We will be fasting and we'll come to the Megillah. So on Friday, the 2 mitzvahs are going to be Kriyas HaMegillah and Matanis Levyonim. On Shabbos, the 2 mitzvahs are going to be Kriyas HaTorah and Al HaNisim. Al HaNisim, Friday night, Shabbos, all the Sudas and Tfilas of Shabbos Al HaNisim. Sunday is going to be Sudas Purim and Mishloach Mamas. So now, of course, like good Jews, there are those who hold that you have to bring Shalach Mamas on Friday. You have to give it on Shabbos. And those who hold you have to have a Shtikl Suda on Friday, and you have to eat a piece of Kishka on Shabbos. And there are those who hold that, every sheet that you can think of. I tell you, I spent time going through them all. It's very fascinating. And of course, what's fascinating is Harav Yosef Karo, you understand, it's once, I think it's Tov Reish Pei Tes, Halacha Vav, he sums it all up, that's it, this is what you do. But there's no question about it that you'll drink a little more on Shabbos, and maybe even drink a little bit on Friday to commiserate with the rest of the world. But there's an unbelievable halacha. And I want to talk about that halacha, and with that we're going to close. The halacha is Pruz ben Yomo Nikra Pruz. If a Yerushalmi goes to Tel Aviv the night of the 14th, I don't know why he'd want to do it, but we're just saying, he goes to Tel Aviv the night of the 14th, and he's there past the crack of dawn. He gets a din like a Tel Avivi. He's going to have to hear the Megillah again on the 14th and do all of the mitzvahs. Somebody from Tel Aviv comes to Yerushalayim and he stays over the night of the 15th until the dawn of the 15th. Nayamais, he's now Yerushalmi. Instant Yerushalmi. And he has to do all the mitzvahs according to Yerushalayim. Huh? Now, in Shulchan Aruch, we have a person can become obligated as a citizen of a particular place 30 days, 12 months. What's this one day? And not only what's this one day, this one day halacha, you become a citizen of Yerushalayim in one day. More than that, not one day, one moment. And the moment that establishes it is the moment of Alot HaShachar. So I say, next Shtikl Gemara, I think we're going to close over there. La Yehudim Haisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar. This Gemara appears in different guises, in different places, but here it is, Rav Chib, Rabbah, and Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, who are going on the road, the Chos, when they saw Ayelet HaShachar, they saw the first break of dawn. Sheboka Oro, that the light began to shine. Arle Rab Chila Rab Shimon. Rab Chila said to Rab Shimon, Kach hi gedulas anshei Yisrael, so is the greatness of Israel. The other, the Yerushalmi in Bracha says, Kach hi gedulas anshei Yisrael, the redemption of Israel. Kima, kima, a little bit, a little bit. And as it continues to go, he robs the geula of Klal Yisrael. It grows as time goes on. My time, because it says, when I sit in darkness, Hashem early, God becomes light to me, little by little. Kach. And here is the start of it all. Betchila, at first, Mordechai is sitting there in the gate of the king. So there's another Mordechai in the gate of the king. All right. Then, what happens? What's the next step? He took the garments and he took the horse and he took him through the streets. Something has happened now. He has gone up from Yoshe Bishar HaMelech and now he is being taken through the streets. And then what was the end? Mordechai goes out from before the king and he's dressed in the raiments and the robes of royalty. You understand the process that has been taking place? Some processes are real processes. The process of Geulason and Gedulason Shel Yisrael is a process that you can bet your life on. That means any other process, forget about it. There ain't no process. And then what was the end? The end was La Yehudim HaYisoida V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar. In the whole Megillah, there's a struggle that's taking place between two cities. And it's always been like that. It was Bavel and Yerushalayim. It was Rome and Yerushalayim. It was Moscow and Yerushalayim. There's a struggle here between Shushan HaBira, the nerve center of the world. Most powerful, powerful city in the world. And a little Yerushalayim, a few thousand Jews are there, struggling just to stay alive. You read Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, you'll see what was going on. It's terrible what's going on in that city. Then, of course, there's Zechariah who says, Oh, Yeshu is a Canaan with the Canos, Verichovos, Yerushalayim, the elderly will sit in the gates of Yerushalayim. Children are going to play in the streets. This is a struggle between two cities. Two cities. So number one, Chazal said, different than any other place in Halacha, Purim, things can change dramatically overnight. And you know when the change takes place? At the crack of dawn. Everything changes. You can become a Tel Avivi or Yerushalmi just at that crack of dawn, because that crack of dawn is the whole story of the Megillah. Kachi gu'ulosan shei Yisrael, kima, kima. And the brilliance of Chazal. I can't get over the mamish, the Ruach HaKodesh. What would have happened if they would have said that there are 2 days Purim? One is the 14th, the whole world. And then any place that has a wall around it from the days of Mordechai and Esther, the 15th. You know what would have happened? Shushan Purim would have ceased to exist. Because there's no Shushan. And the Ran says, Eretz Yisrael hoyso charevo b'ososhua. Eretz Yisrael was charev. So therefore they made it dependent on a place that has a wall around it from Yeshua ben Nun. Because you know what Chazal knew? Chazal knew if you want the halacha to remain for eternity, it has to be connected to Eretz Yisrael. If it's not connected to Eretz Yisrael, forget it. They saw then, at the time that Shushan was the great metropolis, that someday there's going to be no Shushan whatsoever. And there's going to be Yerushalayim. There's going to be Yerushalayim. Pashit, Mordechai went on Aliyah right after the Megillah story. You know that? Oy, if he would be around to see it now,
the traffic jams of Yerushalayim. I think Rabbi Akiva was, used to take me from Har Nof to get into the Israel Center. It used to take me 10, 12 minutes. Half an hour, three quarters of an hour. I always say the street that leaves Har Nof is Kanfei Nisharim, because you can only cross it on the wings of the eagles. Chazal saw it all. In the Ruach HaKodesh, they saw Nitzchius, Netzach, and Netzach Zeh Yerushalayim. Final, I said already a few times at the final. La Yehudim Hoysa Oro V'Simcha V'Sosim Yekar. Since the struggle beneath the surface throughout the Megillah is the struggle between Shushan and Yerushalayim, when Mordechai goes out, La Yehudim Hoysa Oro V'Simcha V'Sosim, each one of those represents Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, Oro Shalom. How many psukim are there? V'holchu Amim Rabim La'orech. Yerushalayim is Or. Simchu at Yerushalayim, the Sisuba. I can keep going on, psukim after psukim. Simcha is Yerushalayim. Sason is Yerushalayim. B'nei Tzion Hayikorim Hamesuloim Vapaz. That's a pasuk in Eicha. La Yehudim Hoysa'oida v'simcha v'sasam yikar. That's Yerushalayim. The ultimate victor is Yerushalayim. And Shushan, you can't even find a trace of it. That's it.